I'm medical intuitive Carol Reiberger. I wanted to end the year of 2016 by offering an energy update about this year, the year of the creative mystic. Many of you who follow my work know that I usually start the year off with either a webinar or a download sharing what the energetic theme of the year is going to be. However, this year was so different in the sense that I thought I knew what the creative mystic meant and how it was going to influence my life and all of our lives. The problem is, I thought I knew. I thought it was going to be a year of engaging in creative activities, and after all the soul work I've been doing, and I know that each of you have been doing, I thought, oh my gosh, what a welcome change this is going to be. I thought that the year was going to be easier emotionally and psychologically because of all the creative energy. I was actually looking forward to rekindling a lot of my creative interest in beading and sewing and my writing, and that I was finally going to get a chance to finish all the creative projects that are still in my studio just waiting for me to set time aside to do them. Yet what I realized early on in the year is I couldn't do the download because, like you, I had to live the energy each and every day until I truly came to understand what the creative mystic really meant. So what is the creative mystic? Well, the mystic part of this theme is your soul. It's the part of you that is that inner navigator that is designed to ensure that you fulfill the things that you put on your life chart. Included in that is, how do you want to be of service to others? Then your own personal work. And then the third part of it is, how do you best want to serve that divine energy of the universe? So the mystic part of us, the soul part of us, really looks at every experience as merely an experience. It really doesn't look at the good and the bad of the experience, or whether we did it right or whether we did it wrong. The soul says, this is merely an experience. What do you want to do with this experience? It asks us, what opportunities are within this experience that will allow you to make different choices in your life? So the mystic part of it is that navigator, but it's the part of us that isn't shackled with the human emotions that our psyches are. The soul uses emotions to be able to help us discern whether we're in alignment with ourselves and our core work and our core values, or whether we're out of alignment. Positive emotions say, woohoo, you're in alignment, keep moving forward. Negative emotions are telling us that we have a struggle. There's a struggle within us about moving forward. So the mystic part of this year said, instead of moving forward and struggling the way that we have been and suffering emotionally for the decisions that we make that seem like they're just repeats of all the decisions we made, the mystic said, in the creative part of the creative mystic said, when you find yourself needing to make a decision, then what you do is just step back, take a deep breath, look at the experience, and ask yourself, what opportunities are there in this experience? The soul doesn't ask you what lessons are in the experience, because it knows that the psyche is going to jump in and immediately say to the mind and the rest of us is that, well, lesson. Well, you're either going to pass or you're going to fail. Life is not about lessons. It's not about passing and failing. So the soul doesn't use the word. The soul doesn't come in and it doesn't use the word about how is this situation good or bad. Because again, it's non-emotional. The only emotion that our soul feels is love. Love for self first and love for others second. So when we ask ourselves, what is the good in this? The psyche comes in and goes, whoa, there's no good in this. This is a terrible situation. This is the wrong decision. It's the same decision you made over and over again. And it starts and it's yammering, blah, 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 blah. Just basically telling us all the things that we've consistently done wrong. So the soul, on the other hand, says, what is the opportunity in this? The creative part, as I learned throughout the year living it myself, is that it's not about our creative experiences. It's about using our creativity in a way that it can help us in our decision making, where it can help us use that creative, imaginative part of who we are, that special gift of who we are, that can take an experience and take a problem and look at it and expand it so we can actually see other solutions, other possibilities, other opportunities in it. The soul says, once we recognize the opportunities in that creative energy, then let's take a deep breath. What do we want to do? Are we ready to move forward? The soul, unlike the psyche, doesn't say, come on, come on, come on, let's get going. It just says, what do you want to do? And that's all it asks us. So the energy of the creative mystic is really about decision making. It's about taking a risk in ourselves and trusting ourselves to where we can use this creative part of who we are to make a difference in our own life and to allow our soul to navigate us through it. So the first part of the year was really all about just kind of trying on the soul, looking at it from the decision-making standpoint. When we found ourselves facing the same situation over and over again, or interacting in a relationship the same way over and over again, the soul was merely presenting us the opportunity to say, look at the repetition. It wasn't saying bad repetition. It was saying, look at the repetition. What do you want to do with this? So the first few months of 2016 was allowing us to kind of get used to this creative energy and to again come in and basically use it for decision making. Now everything changed July 2nd through October 12th. In the evolution of consciousness and in the evolution of a thought, a single thought goes through 7 steps. That's the evolutionary process. The first 3 steps are all about searching and discovery. That's a very, very exciting time. That's the time where we awaken to there's something new, there's something different, there's potential, there's possibilities that we have that's in front of us that we can move forward differently. It says aha moments that we just absolutely love. The second step in the searching discovery is self-remembering. That part of this process of discovery says, remember who you really are. Remember that you're energy first, matter second. Remember that you're a soul, and your psyche is literally to be a servant of your soul to help you navigate through your daily activities and all of the challenges that life presents you. The third stage is the stage of awareness. This is when it's like literally light bulbs start going off. We start becoming really aware of how we're repeating our old patterns. We become very aware of what triggers those old patterns, what triggers us to feel maybe poorly about ourselves or to keep us in that fear of unknown. So the state of awareness in the searching discovery is very, very exciting because we start to see patterns. Now, as humans, we've evolved into a place where the searching and discovery is the most exciting part of self-discovery. It's the part that we love. It's almost like we become self-discovery junkies in many ways. We want to stay in those searching and discovery times because it's like every day, every moment unfolds in a new and different way. But discovery is one thing, but what we discover never creates change unless we move into action. In between the searching and discovery and the action stages is a stage called transition. This is a time that in the evolutionary process that allows us to take a pause. I call it the incubation time. It's the time where we're able to go in and really just be with what we've learned about ourselves, what we've learned about our patterns, the conditioning and how it's affected us. And we start to recognize in this transition what we can do in these possibilities and these opportunities that the soul presents us, what we can do to truly change our lives without it having to be really hard. So from July 2nd to October 12th, we were in this transition time. And when we first entered into it, it was like kind of like taking a rest after running a marathon. It felt good. It felt like it was something that was just natural for us to do. We had been kind of struggling and maybe being even excited about the first part of the year and this creative energy. And then we hit this pause. So in July, everything was just going along hunky-dory. We were just moving and grooving, enjoying a little bit of the slowness of the pace with summer and so forth, and then kind of looking at the future, but not really dwelling in the future, not really trying to solve problems in the future, but just literally being in the present moment. Well, this worked really fine until mid-August. And then it's like the psyche came in and said, hey, Wake up. You've been here too long. Chop, chop. Come on. Let's get going. Let's move forward. No, let's not rest any longer. Life is going to pass you by. You wouldn't believe all the things that the psyche can pull up that can say to us, listen, start moving. The interesting thing about this transition stage is that when the psyche pushed us and kicked us in the backside in many cases, and not a gentle nudge, said, come on, let's get going with your life, every time in this transition that we try to engage in a repetitive pattern, or we try to do something that maybe looked a little bit different, but it really wasn't, it didn't work. As my mom used to say, it's like running in molasses. No matter how hard we tried, we never seemed to gain on it. So this transition was saying, take a breather. Don't keep repeating the things. But the psyche's going, let's get going. So we found ourselves in August really kind of going back and forth. What do we do? What is my purpose? How should I change my life? Where should I go? Do I need a new relationship? Do I need a new job? Well, the transition stage is all about asking all those questions, but it's not about moving forward in any of those actions until we have a very clear understanding at that inner level of who we are, that the next step we take, the next action we take, is in alignment with our core values. So the transition is all about giving us the opportunity to get in touch with ourselves, to get in touch with our core values. What I mean by that is finding the things and reconnecting with the things that are very near and dear to our heart, not the things that we've been conditioned to believe. Those are just beliefs. But what do we really believe? What do we believe about ourselves? What do we believe about life? What do we believe about the soul? So while the psyche was having these tantrums, the soul was just saying, if it's in alignment with your core values, that means it's in alignment with your soul's purpose. It's on your soul chart. You can move forward. What we did in this time frame is we were able to move forward. We initiated change, but it was different. When it was in alignment, it just happened. It's almost as though the law of magnetic attraction that we know so well suddenly found us. Things came forward. Opportunities came forward. We met new people. We had synchronicity happen in our life. And it was all happening at a level that was keeping us away from the psyche and all of the things that it yammers at us that we can't do. And it was actually attracting at the level of our soul. Well, everything kind of hit a tempo the 1st of September. And the best way for me to explain this emotional tempo that I'm talking about that happened in September, it's like the psyche in August said, okay, you're not listening to me. I'm going to turn the emotions up. I'm going to put them over the top. Well, if we go back and we look at the election and we look at that whole process that we went through, somewhere around the first week in September, everything changed. The election got nastier. The name-calling became more obvious. The blaming, the shame, the pointing fingers. I mean, it's like the political system, the way it is and being kind of what we call dirty politics just actually amped itself up. We found ourselves being bombarded emotionally by all of this anger and frustration. We found ourselves taking a stance, whether we were voting for Hillary or we were voting for Trump. It didn't make any difference. Both were really and really are the symbols of change. So either could have stepped into that place and into that role because the theme of the energy was change. But what we did is the election said to us as it increased the tempo, we just got emotionally bombarded, not only with our own emotions and what we were experiencing and getting in touch with ourselves. It was like we found ourselves caught in an avalanche of group consciousness that was just emotionally at a peak. Transition said, take a deep breath. Use your emotions to discern where you are. But allow those emotions of others to literally just go through you, to actually go around you, to not have to take in that energy. Well, as we got closer into the October 12th dilemma and the time frame and everything, oh my gosh, OMG, OMG, everything got worse. Everything seemed like we were just headed in a direction. Either direction we took, it was not going to be good. And what we did is we entered into the stage, the 1st of October, the first action stage, which is the stage of transformation. Transformation is where we release emotions. It's not where we think about them. It's where we actually have made choices of what we've learned in the searching and discovery. In this transition, the incubation, it's time for us to now let go of the emotions that don't serve us well. Yet, individually wanting to do that, there was still all this energetic charge that was happening in the field that we, like energetic dust bunnies, were just being bombarded with. It was like we felt in many ways that we were almost being buried by emotions we couldn't even relate to. So October 13th, we moved into the stage of transformation. After coming off of that roller coaster ride, we really didn't know in October and even into November whose emotions are we dealing with. Are we dealing with our own? Are we dealing with someone else's? And if it is someone else's, who is it? And then the question is, and then what do we have to do in order to release ourselves from it? Well, the soul said it's merely an experience. There is an opportunity within all of this to discern, is this your emotion or someone else's? The question that I found that I was sharing so much in my readings in the month of October and November is suggesting to people, when you find yourself emotionally out of sorts or you just feel like you're out of sync with yourself, ask a very simple question. Is this mine? Is it theirs? We don't even need to know who theirs is. And the soul is going to tell us. If it says it's theirs, then we have the opportunity to say, I don't want to carry this anymore, and literally release it at that moment. If we release it at that moment, then we start that avalanche of release that allows it to happen without us having to think about it and work at it and struggle at it and suffer over it. December, we've entered into the stage of transmutation. It is the stage of change. Everything is in flux. Everything right now is in change. But the gift of the change is that it's preparing us for the energy of 2017, which is the year of allowing. Now, important for me to tell you, allowing isn't passive. Allowing is a very active stage. Allowing is the stage of transcendence. Transcendence, allowing, means to rise above and move beyond. What the energy is doing right now in this change is saying to us, change is going to happen. You can either stay in the basement and work your way up, or you can literally rise above the experience, rise above the change, the awareness, the letting go, the self-remembering, all the things that you've done, and you can rise above it. And when you do, the creative mystic part of you comes forward and it literally sees everything differently. It's merely an experience, and within that experience is opportunity. And in those opportunities, you have a choice. And whatever choice you make, it's made in the present moment. And that choice is going to morph. And the gift of the year of allowing is it's going to allow those changes to morph to where they're in alignment with your core values, where they're in alignment with all of those things that you wrote on your soul chart so you can move forward. 2017, I'm going to talk about. I've been living it. You've been living it. You've been living the allowing. When you went into transition and you took that deep breath, you were allowing. When you would put yourself in the present moment, you were allowing. When you would allow yourself to emote, when you thought, oh my gosh, this is like an Academy Award-winning performance, over-the-top emotions, you were allowing that release work to happen. So you and I have been practicing this year of allowing. We're getting these little snippets. What I would like to end this recording with and closing down 2016 is that I would encourage you to help you through the change and to help ease you consciously and from a soul's perspective in 2017. Anytime you feel yourself stumbling, anytime you feel yourself out of sync with yourself, this is a mantra. It's a chant, it's an affirmation that the council in the universe gave to me to help me and for me to share with you to help you through all of this great change, all of this time of evolution, all of this stepping into enlightenment. The affirmation is, make peace with where you are. The affirmation isn't like we've been taught in affirmations where it's first person and is as if it's already been done. The affirmation that was shared isn't, I make peace with where I am, because with this time of great change as we move into enlightenment, the minute we say, I make peace with where I am, the psyche comes in and goes, no, you're not. Look at. You've got absolute chaos around you. Nothing seems like it's working. You don't seem like you're moving forward. And it starts that yada, 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 yada all over again. The reason the council said, make peace with where you are, is they're saying to you, you are not alone in your journey, as your psyche may think. You have not been abandoned by the universe. The celestial helpers, all of the souls who have transitioned back into light are saying to you, when you make peace with where you are, we are with you. We have your back covered. We are taking your desires. We are taking your opportunities. We are taking your dreams. And we are amplifying them. And we are putting them into the field with such clarity that the law of attraction is going to bring those opportunities to you, those desires to you, those dreams to you, and that you're not even going to have to work hard at getting them. Thank you so much for listening to this download. I hope that it has provided some valuable information. I'll tell you, it has been a heck of a roller coaster ride for me, as I'm sure that it has for many of you. I have found this year in my readings, people keep saying to me, Carol, when did I get this e-ticket to go on this place of this roller coaster where the highs are so high and the lows are so low? What 2017 says is there will always be highs and lows. It's the law of rhythm. There's always ebb and flow. But what I keep getting assured, instead of riding those great big roller coasters that you know when you're going up that first climb that you're probably going to die screaming and can't get your breath when you fall, 2017 is going to be like a kiddie roller coaster. Everything has ebb and flow. Make peace with where you are. Light and love.